Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the Word of God this evening by using Genesis 24. I read one verse, especially as text verse for the sermon, verse 12, Genesis 24, verse 12, where we read the holy, infallible Word of the Lord as follows. Verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abram, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abram. We also use the Heidelberg Catechism, like we have been reading from Lord's Day 21, question answer 55. And the theme for the sermon is the faithful service. The faithful service. Congregation, there was a friend from the Netherlands that called yesterday, and I talked to him, and so then he told something about the work that he's doing, the job, and he said, yeah, there are a lot of people that attend church, but some of them, I really feel and experience a connection to, a unity. There's a man that, although he is from another denomination, that doesn't matter at all, but we do feel unity at Monday morning, especially. We talk about spiritual things, about the sermon, about concerns that we have, about things that happen in the church, and we feel really a unity, a spiritual unity. What a blessing is that? You understand that? Might be that some of you have that. There are people around you, maybe in different denominations, a different background, but you have that experience of unity in spiritual things. That's amazing. You can have it with people from a different culture, a different language, different country, that you recognize the same love, the same grace of Christ in the lives of each other, the same work of the Holy Spirit in transforming your life and heart, in guiding and teaching you according to the Word. It's a miracle, isn't it? How is that possible? People from China or Africa, and you are connected to each other. You understand each other. While you might have a hard time to communicate because of the different languages, there is a unity. What do you understand by the communion of saints? So this is one of the articles of the Confession of Faith, of the Apostles' Confession of Faith. And it is the article that is following after we confess about the church, that we believe one holy Catholic church. And then immediately it says, the communion of saints. And there is a reason that those two articles are so close to each other. Well, you could say, this one, the communion of saints, is describing the Holy Catholic Church. Church with a capital letter. The church all over the world. By the power of the work of the Spirit, gathered by Christ, sending the Spirit in the hearts of people. That Holy Catholic Church, you can say that is the communion of saints. So it is giving us a deeper insight into the church, what it means, and what is experienced by members of the church. Communion of saints. So there is a unity, like we read in Scripture, that a church is described like a body. There is a unity in the body. You all understand it and can see that. That all the members of the body are connected to each other. And so it is in the church. There is a unity in that one holy Catholic Church, although spread over the whole world in all different languages, they are one. What is the secret of that? What does it mean? What is that communion of saints? Saints, what do we mean with that word? It's a word that is used for a believer, someone who has a true living faith in his or her heart. The confession of faith calls them saints. Why? What does it mean? Does it mean that if you are converted, if you are born again, if you know Christ by faith, does it mean that you do not have any sin anymore? That you are a saint in that way? Holy? Without any sin? And some people teach that. We call it perfectionism. How can they do that? They can only do that if they have a superficial understanding of sin. If you think about sin like killing someone, stealing stuff, and that kind of sins, big sins that we all talk about, they say, well, you can get free of sin. But if you see what sin really is, that sin is something that is deep in our nature, in the old nature of a child of God, in a very subtle way, then you will not say. And then you will understand that it is not true that we can be free from sin in this life. No. So that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that we are free from sin. But still this word is used. And it's a nice word. It's good to call them that way. Because in Christ they are holy. And when God is looking unto them in His Son, He does not see sin in them for Christ's sake. Because the righteousness and the perfect obedience of Christ is imputed to them, God is counting them righteous because of what Christ has done. So they are saints because of that living tie, that living relation to the Lord Jesus and His work, the living tie of a true faith. What do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer, first, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. That's the first part of the answer. They all are partakers of Christ. So there you have the answer of the secret, that they understand each other because it's one and the same Savior that they belong to, who bought them with His blood, who paid the precious price of His life, who sacrificed Himself for them. So that is why there is that same experience of grace in the hearts. They all belong to Christ, partakers of Him. That first. It is about His person. Partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. So what are the riches of Christ? Is it gold, silver? Like some teach, also in America, prosperity faith. If you have faith, then you will be successful in this world. You have to trust God and you will make it. You will become rich. You pray about it. You expect it from God. You will receive it. That is a teaching that is taught in some churches. But that is not a scriptural teaching like we discussed this morning in the catechism class. No. When you read scripture, then you see that God is working in a way that there are many tribulations in this life and that we will lose things in this world, but that we get riches in a spiritual way. So what are those riches of Christ? Well, forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit dwelling in the heart, renewal of the life, that the power of sin is broken. How rich, how great, how full are those things? You know that. If you have experienced that gift of God, of forgiveness of your sins, of all His riches. So first it is about Him. Do you know Christ? But it also means that you know His riches, that you know forgiveness, that you know that hope in your heart of eternal life and His gifts, that He is providing gifts to serve Him, to live to His glory, to be used for your neighbor. So and then immediately you come to the second part of this answer, and that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. So there is a willingness in the heart, a readiness. You are cheerful to be used by the Lord for the benefit of others, especially of other members, when you talk about the communion of saints. So let us try to understand that deeper. Let us try to see how that works. From the scripture part that we have been reading, Genesis 24, Abram is old. Abram, who is called by the Lord to leave the land where he was living and his family, his relatives, to leave it all behind. And he obeyed by faith. And now here he is in that promised land. Although he didn't see that it was given to him, only in the promise, he saw it by faith. He is old now. And there is a concern in his life, in his heart. It is about his son, Isaac, the son that he had waited for such a long time, for so many years. And the Lord made him not ashamed. The Lord fulfilled his promise. And Isaac is born. And now Isaac is 40 years old, the only son of Abram and Sarah. And the Lord had promised that from Isaac, from the descendants from Isaac, the Messiah would be born. But Isaac is 40 years old. And he is not married. And here is Abram in this promised land, a land full of Gentiles, Canaanites. And so How can this promise of the Lord be fulfilled? And then Abram is talking to his servant. And it might be the servant that we read about in Genesis 15, verse 2. That servant that Abram thought that he would get everything because then Abram had not a son. And so this servant, Eliezer of Damascus, Abram is talking to him. And then you see something of that communion of the saints. We see that the church in those days was in the household of Abram. And here is a servant, and it might be that servant that Abram thought that he would receive everything. And Abram is sharing his concerns and telling this servant that he has to go to the land where Abram came from to find a wife for his son Isaac. And it's really wonderful to see how this relation is between those two men, Abram and his servant. We read in John chapter 8, verse 56, that we read that the Lord Jesus says, "Your father Abram rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So Abram, living ages, hundreds of years, thousands of years before that Christ is born, he saw the day of the Lord Jesus. He saw that he would be born. He saw it by faith. And he rejoiced. Don't you think that Abram shared what he saw with his servant? I'm sure he did. Because we see the tender fear of the Lord in the life of this servant. So here you have that unity. Two men that are, like the Catechism says, partakers of him, of Christ. Although it would be a long time before Christ would be born, by faith they saw him and they were saved by him. So here is a unity. Here is the communion of saints in this Old Testamentic church, in the household of Abram. And Abram is telling this servant that he has to go to his relatives in the land where he came from to find a wife for Isaac. And it was all about Christ, that Christ would be born, that the Lord would use and bless this to fulfill his promise. And we know the Lord does not depend on us. But we also have to see that the Lord will use people to fulfill his counsel. That everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. So Abram says to his servant that he has to go. "Thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?" And Abram says, "No, you shall not do that." And Abram is speaking in faith. Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Here is faith. Here is a trusting of the Lord. Here is a man that has seen how the Lord has been leading and guiding him, and has hope and expectation. And still he is a man. He cannot look in the future, and he doesn't fully know the counsel of the Lord in all details. And so he says, and if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. Peradventure. I'm not saying this is unbelief in the life of this servant. But how many times do we have that? That the Lord is calling us for a certain task. That the Lord is guiding and leading us in a certain direction. And that we should trust the Lord unconditionally. So many times we have our peradventures. Are you struggling with that? Are you having all those questions in your heart? Oh, how encouraging to read here. When we have expectation from the Lord that we will not be made ashamed. Here are two men that understand each other. Two men that are united in the same faith. If we see this servant later on, how he is there after this journey of 3 or 4 weeks, and then when he arrived there and is seeking to find a wife for Isaac, how he is lifting up his heart to the Lord, asking that the Lord will make his way successful, that the Lord will bring a girl, a young woman, to be the wife for Isaac. Then we recognize the same attitude, the same fear of the Lord, the same faith, the same trusting of the Lord. Yes, it is true that his servant is asking for a sign when he is there sitting and praying. Then he says, O Lord God of my master Abram, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abram. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that a damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou showed kindness unto my master. So he's asking for a sign that the Lord will make it clear. That is allowed if we ask in faith that the Lord will direct us and show us in a special way what his counsel and his will is. The Lord is doing that here. You know, it's wrong if we ask for a sign in unbelief because we do not believe the Lord. But to ask in faith to be strengthened, isn't it really true that those two men have the same faith in the Lord, depend on the Lord in the same way? Ah, this is wonderful. A master, a servant, they are one. In the love of Christ, in the things of the Lord. You could think, well, this servant, he might feel kind of negative about that Abram got a son and that son will inherit everything. If that son would not have been born, then this servant might have received everything. That is not the case at all. This is the secret of that fear of the Lord, of that faith of Abram. It was not about him. It was not about Abram. It was about the Lord. And that's why they both could seek the same thing with the same attitude and have the same purpose. It's about the promise of God. It's about the counsel of the Lord. It's about the salvation of sinners in this world, that the Messiah will be born. You see, the secret of the communion of saints, the secret of union in the church, there's no jealousy. No, there's no selfishness. It's not about them. It's about God. It's about His promise. It's about the work of salvation that God is working in this world. You understand that? Do you experience that? That the Lord worked in your life and that He changed everything in your life. By nature, we all put ourselves in the center. It's about me. Well, I might help other people. Not too much. Not too much. They might do better than I do. I wouldn't like that. Well, that's our old selfish, sinful nature. But if we have died, like we all have to, in a spiritual way, and if Christ is alive in us, then it's changing. Then it's not about me. Then this servant can do this with a zeal, as if it was all about himself, for the son of his master, who would receive everything, and he would not. You understand that? That's a miracle, isn't it? That's grace. That's the work of Christ. That is the secret of unity. There's no room for jealousy. If you know that grace, there's no room for pride. There's no room for selfishness. If that fear of the Lord, that faith of Abram, that zeal for the church is in your heart, then it's all changing. Oh, how good it is to see that. How wonderful to experience that. That we are no longer in between. We can be such a hindrance. Our pride. That we think about ourselves, our name, our reputation. And this morning we heard, it's not about our reputation. No, for Christ's sake, they will cast out our name as evil, and we will rejoice in that day for Christ's sake, because of knowing Him and what He has done. Two men that are united in a wonderful and mighty way by the same faith. Abram saw the day of Christ, and his servant was having the same faith. So it was not a problem at all that the one was the master and the other one the servant. And the servant has to make an oath that he would do it. And it was a very intimate gesture to do that. He had to put his hand under the thigh of Abram and then to make that oath. You see how strong they are united to do this thing for the fulfillment of the counsel of the Lord. The same desire, the same love. Oh, this is freedom. If you know this faith, this is to be set free by Christ, that He is ruling your life and your heart, and that you experience that in the lives of others. Oh, it is so encouraging. It is such a comfort, such a consolation in the fight of faith that we have in this world, to experience this unity, the communion of saints. So yesterday we had a meeting with the men and the boys in the church, and we talked about church and what it means, church. So, and why would we go to a church? What is the reason we go there? Well, here it is. Something, one of the reasons to experience that communion of saints. What a miracle that we are not alone, but that the Lord is calling from all nations, all languages, to be saved by Christ. How encouraging it is to gather together in the house of the Lord and to have the same hunger and thirst for the Word of God, to have the same love of Christ in your heart, to look around you and to see people that are walking with you in the ways of, in the paths of the Lord. How encouraging it is. What a blessing it is to have a church together under the Word, to have that unity of the work of the Spirit, together around the table of the Lord, to eat the same bread, to drink the same wine, to share in the same work of salvation by Christ. We can easily take it for granted, but it is so rich. And if there would be a time that we would not have it, we would better see how rich it is. If we would lose the freedom together, we would be aware how precious it is, more than we do now. I remember that I did attend a conference in England one day, the Banner of Truth. If you gather there with people from different countries and languages, and then you are all together there as laborers in the kingdom of God, and then you sing together a song like Amazing Grace, it can touch you, that you feel, oh, the Lord is doing such a great, amazing work in this world, gathering His church and bringing them all at the feet of Christ and saving them by His blood. You can experience that unity, that communion of saints, and it's so encouraging that you see that work of the Lord in the lives of others, like it must have been for Abram, so encouraging that he had such a servant that was so dedicated to the things of the Lord. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 175, stanza 1 till 4. 175, stanza 1 till 4. Come, all ye people, bless our God and tell His glorious praise abroad. 175, stanza 1 till 4. Thank you.
our soul in life. Never let our feet be moved, and though our faith he oft has proved, upholds us in the strife. We come with offerings on his heart, and here we pay the solemn vows we uttered in distress. Him our all we dedicate, we wholly consecrate. Life's his mercy's bless. And now his wondrous grace I bless, for he has set me free. The Lord who turns away the plea of those who love iniquity has answered my
congregation, the Lord did hear the prayer of this servant. How willing was this servant to use his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members, for the advantage of Abram, of Isaac, and well, ultimately you could say for the salvation of many, that Christ would be born, that there would be a wife for Isaac, and children would be born, and at the end the Messiah would be born, so that people would be saved by his work. He is making the trip, not complaining about what he had to do. Abram didn't want Isaac to return, to go to the country where he came from. Maybe the reason is that if Isaac would go there, he might stay there for a long time, like Jacob did later on. And he had to stay in the promised land that the Lord had given to Abram. And Abram didn't want Isaac to have a son from the Canaanites, because he knew that the Lord would take the land from them and had given it to him and his descendants. And he saw clearly the danger that Isaac would be led astray by a wife that would serve idols like the Canaanites did. And so he wanted his servant to go there, and his servant, he went. He did it. And there he is, praying at a well, praying that the Lord would provide. So, to serve in the kingdom of God, to use your gifts for the salvation and the advantage of other members, does not exclude prayer and depending on the Lord, but it includes that tender faith, trusting the Lord and depending on Him and praying about what is needed. You can see it before you, children. Can you see it? How this servant is sitting there at the well and praying and waiting and hoping that the Lord will provide. But don't you think that he was not the only one that was praying? Don't you think that there was far away someone else praying? Abram. And when later on this servant is returning, Isaac is in the field. He was praying. And the Lord is hearing the prayers. It says in Scripture, where two or three will unite to desire something from the Lord, that the Lord will give it. Isn't that something of that communion of saints? That you have the same desire. That you have that trust in the Lord, but also that unity amongst each other. And then you can feel free, like Abram did, to share your concerns, even with your servant, to ask him to do what Abram could not do. He was old. And to go to get a wife for Isaac. So the communion of saints, it includes very practical things that we do for the advantage and salvation of other members. It includes prayer for each other, the communion of saints. But to pray for each other, that includes that we are willing to open our hearts for each other, to share our needs with each other. There is such a trust, not only in the Lord, but there is such a trust between this master, Abram, and his servant. And Abram is not afraid to open his heart to this God-fearing servant. And we should not. So that's something that has to come from two sides. That we will know from each other that life with the Lord, that we can see it, can experience it, that we walk with the Lord. And then it's not too hard, is it, to open your heart? Because you, oh, let it be that way. You do not only trust the Lord, but because of that trust, the Lord has given trust and unity amongst each other. That's how it should be. That's how it is when Christ is alive in us. When it is no more about me, about you, about Abram, about his servant, but about the counsel of the Lord, about the kingdom of God, about his plan of salvation, about the salvation of souls. If that is really true, then it will not happen that you take advantage of each other. When they open their hearts, that you make them ashamed. Oh, that's terrible if that would happen. But it will be this way, that you will readily and cheerfully employ your gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. If that is experienced here on earth, among sinful people in themselves, that Christ is ruling their lives so much, there is that communion of saints, that unity. That you're not afraid that when you open your heart about the need in your life, that they will gossip behind your back about it, but that you know that they will talk about it to God. That there will be a unity in prayer, like there was in this situation. Abram, Isaac, servant, seeking the same thing. It was about the Lord, His promise, His word, His kingdom, His church. It was about souls, His glory. Oh yeah. So, it's a great thing, that communion of saints, that we can share our burdens, that there's a readiness, that we are cheerful to help, that we know there is a unity, we pray for it together, we bring it before the Lord. And that is not about me, not my advantage, but we seek the advantage of others and the salvation of others. Communion of saints, something that we believe. We confess it every Lord's Day night, don't we? Oh, that it will be something that we experience. And the Lord will give that we can open our hearts. Brother, sister, I need help. Can you pray for me? There's such a power of darkness that I'm attacked by. There's such a strong sin. Oh, there's such a trouble in my life. There's a problem in my family. There's a need that I have. Please, can you pray for me? And that we will see that God is hearing the prayers. But two or three unite to desire something from the Lord. This servant is not ashamed when he is sitting there. There is Rebecca coming to get water. She went down to the well, and the servant ran to meet her. He had expectation. Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. She said, drink, my Lord. She hastened and let down her pitcher and upon her hand and gave him drink. Well, here's also a beautiful thing to see this young girl, this young woman, so willing to serve this stranger. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to wit her. Do you see him sitting there? He was holding his peace. What is the Lord doing? See what the Lord was doing. Is he hearing my prayer? Is he giving what I prayed from him? And the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And he had. The Lord gave it. Oh, the communion of saints. To have the same love of Christ. And to have that willingness to be used by Christ for the advantage, the salvation of souls. It's about souls. It's about the glory of Christ. Souls for eternity. The glory of Christ who gave himself. I believe the communion of saints. We have to believe it. It's a matter of faith. Sometimes you don't see it. Let us believe it. Let us pray about it. That it will be seen. To his glory. Will be experienced. To the benefit of the church. To the benefit of souls. So that in eternity. We will give him together. The glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we believe the communion of saints. It was there in the household of Abram, in the Old Testamentic church. Let it be here Let it be here in an abundant way in this church here in Grand Rapids. That we are not scared to share our weakness, scared that others will take advantage, that we will have trust and know that others will do what they can for the advantage of other members, for the salvation of other members. Lord, what a wonder that thou art using man, out working in man and giving riches and gifts, also making willing to use gifts for the benefit and the salvation of souls. Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness. Forgive our many sins, O Lord, and that thou would work powerfully, and that we will see it, thy work, also in the communion of saints. We pray it, O Lord, for thy name's sake, it's about thy glory. Oh, that thou would do it for Christ's sake. Be with us when we go home, keep us on the dangerous routes. Lord, bless us when we gather as a youth group. Help those that do the topic. Bless thy word and when we sing and pray, so that thou would show thy grace, work thy grace in the hearts of young people. And I would keep thy church from generation to generation. Lord, we pray that thou would do that also in our days, like thou hast done in the days of Abram, bringing a wife to Isaac, that thou would bless and give families, and that there will be children born for thy kingdom, so that Christ will be glorified in their salvation. Lord, hear us. Forgive us our many sins, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.